Hello again, and welcome to the program. We're looking in 1st and 2nd Timothy, what we call God's Church Manual. It's written to the pastor that thou, pastor, may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. We're going to look at verse 5 through 10 today. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, and for profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Interesting portion of Scripture. We're going to look at it. Before we do, though, here's a prayer. This hymn is simply a prayer. Lord, I want to be near. Draw me nearer, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. We could study the Bible and study it some more, but unless we have a relationship with the Lord, it's not really of much value. So before we look at this and try and figure out what we're supposed to be doing in the local church, let's make this our prayer. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart.
Blood doth impart.
Well, we're looking at verse 5 here. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now, the end, it means the utmost, as far as you can go. The end of the commandment is charity. The word means love. It comes from the Greek word agape. Charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So what commandment is he talking about? 1 Timothy 1:1, he has just said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. That Greek word is only found twice in 1 Timothy, and it's translated charge in verse 18. This charge or commandment I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So this charge, the foundation of all of it, is love. Now, the word commandment appears one more time in 1 Timothy, but it's a different Greek word, and it means, it carries with it not only a command, but the precept or a rule intended to regulate behavior. Not only a command, but how we should do things. That's what this whole book is about, that thou mayest know how thou should behave thyself in the house of God. Now, he said that thou keep this commandment without spot or unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which I think is going to be fairly soon. So we have the commandment. Notice the word charity. Now, as we mentioned, this word is agape. Sometimes, 86 times, that word has been translated love. But 28 times, it's been translated charity. Now, I'm one of those guys that think God had the King James Bible translated exactly the way he wanted it translated. Why did he use love in some places and charity in others? Well, charity is mercy for those in need, expecting nothing in return. If someone comes to your door and says, hey, we're collecting, we're the Red Cross, we want to feed some hungry children in Africa, you're not going to get anything back from those people in Africa. Now, you know, on the other hand, if you love the people in the church, they're going to love you back. This word means charity, mercy for those in need, expecting nothing in return. That's the kind of command that we are given, this kind of love, if we're going to pastor a local church the way God wants us to pastor the church. And so he says this love needs to be out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now, it's interesting that all these words are found in 1 Peter 1:22, where he said, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so the context here of both of these portions of Scripture has to do with the local church. And so love. Jesus said, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Now, you can't love on command. Even if God commands you to love somebody, you just can't love on command. But he didn't say that. He said, these things I command you. And if you check out these things that he was talking about prior to John chapter 15, if you check out those things, you'll see if we do these things, the byproduct is that we will love one another. And so if we want to love the way Jesus says to love, that's the way it's got to happen. Now, this word charity, we said in our last program, we used this illustration here of somebody gossiping against the pastor, somebody listening. Right? It's so easy to love everybody who's loving you. But the kind of love he's talking about here, charity, is where you get nothing in return. In fact, you might even get people against you in return. Well, that's what happened to Jesus. And if you want to be like Jesus, you were going to have to sit, face up to this situation. It's going to happen. So love, loving the unlovely, not always easy to do, but it comes out of a pure heart with a good conscience and faith unfeigned. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Once again, it's a byproduct. But then in verse 6, we read, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, from loving unto jangling. Now, it's interesting as you go through 1st, 2nd Timothy, and I've listed them here. I'm not going to read them all off. But some were teaching false doctrine. Some were guilty of vain jangling, shipwrecked. I'll go down through the list here, and you'll see the straw of them mentioned in 1st and 2nd Timothy, where some did something, but a very small remnant. Only one out of the 12 were vessels to honor. Now, it's talking about what we're looking at in the last days. And so it can be very discouraging. However, you know, we ought to be more upset if it isn't happening, because 2,000 years ago, God said it's going to happen at the end of the age. And we ought to be encouraged, because it means that trumpet is going to sound anytime. Well, he said, these people, they're desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor of they affirm. Well, we read the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The time has come. We're living there now. And so we all not only have these people who desire to be teachers, we have these people who desire to heap those kind of teachers. I say, well, just tickle my ears. Just tell me what I want to hear, and I'll put my money on the offering plate, and I'll let you have my kids, and you can lead them astray too. That's where we're living today. But he went on to say, because the situation at that time was some were bringing in the Old Testament law because they had no idea whatsoever how to rightly divide the Word of God. And so he said, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So he says, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand what they say, aware of. They affirm. They just don't know. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And so he said in verses 9 through 10, gave this whole list of things that the law was good for. And we find that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. He said in 5:39, search the scriptures. That's the Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had then. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So Paul's saying it's not that there's something wrong with the law. There's something wrong with these teachers who don't know what they're talking about and do not know how to rightly divide the Word of God and really don't care to know. Well, in verse 10, the second half of it, and then verse 11, it says, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He said in Galatians 1 and 8, but the we, or an angel from heaven, we, us fundamental people who are writing the New Testament, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man, but part of that's too hard to understand. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, we said before, this word accursed does not mean to die and go to hell. Paul would never say that. It means to be exposed, and we explained that in our last message. So, if it's contrary to sound doctrine, he needs to be exposed, like Paul did with Peter when he confronted him to his face before them all. And so he said, this gospel is committed to my trust, he said. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, he said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. And so he said, Timothy, oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Well, if you're going to do that in this age of apostasy, when local churches that used to be fundamental don't even know what that means anymore, you're going to run into a little opposition. If you're going to handle the opposition, this needs to be our prayer. Let's pray it again. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Still here.
cleansing thy blood doth impart.